A CIA officer sits across from a potential spy who has just rejected his carefully crafted recruitment pitch. In a hospital, a cancer surgeon watches another patient demand unnecessary surgery despite overwhelming evidence against it. At a tech giant's headquarters, employees avoid eye contact in hallways, terrified of saying the wrong thing about race. These moments of disconnection happen thousands of times daily, leaving us wondering, why do some conversations create instant understanding while others build invisible walls? Here's what neuroscience reveals. When we truly connect, our brains don't just process the same information, they literally synchronize. Our breathing aligns, our heart rates match, even our skin responses mirror each other. This isn't poetic metaphor, it's measurable biology. And some people trigger this synchronization effortlessly, not through charisma or dominance, but through something far more subtle and learnable. Every conversation operates on three wavelengths, each activating different neural networks. The practical conversation, what's this really about, engages our analytical brain. The emotional conversation, how do we feel, draws on memory and emotion centers. The identity conversation, who are we, activates our social brain as we navigate belonging. Miscommunication happens when people occupy different wavelengths. A spouse shares workplace frustrations while their partner offers solutions. She's having an emotional conversation, he's having a practical one. Neither is wrong, but they're speaking different languages. CIA officer Jim Lawler learned this when his polished recruitment pitch failed with Yasmin. Instead of pushing harder logically, he shifted wavelengths, sharing his own doubts and vulnerabilities. When he matched her emotional frequency, she whispered, "I can do this," and became one of the agency's most valuable sources for 2 decades. Super communicators recognize which wavelength is active and adjust accordingly. They ask questions, admit confusion, and constantly recalibrate, tuning into frequencies most people miss. Before words are spoken, tone and body language establish unspoken rules about formality, vulnerability, and acceptable topics. Dr. Befar Idai discovered this when patients ignored medical evidence favoring active surveillance over prostate surgery. Despite 97% safety data, they fixated on the 3% risk and demanded unnecessary procedures. After consulting a Harvard negotiation expert, Idai changed his approach. Instead of presenting facts, he asked, "What does this cancer diagnosis mean to you?" Patients revealed their true concerns, fears about traumatizing family, desires for control, worries about an upcoming wedding, anxieties about losing their identity as protector. By discovering what patients actually wanted from the conversation, Idai reduced unnecessary surgeries by 30% within 6 months. He hadn't changed the medical facts, he'd changed which conversation he was having. Some discussions require analytical problem solving, where facts persuade. Others operate through identity and belonging, where people respond to stories rather than statistics. Recognizing which logic is operating transforms everything. Emotions shape every conversation, guiding what we say and hear, often unconsciously. When people discuss emotions, others listen more attentively, creating connections that analytical discussions can't match. Yet most avoid emotional conversations, dreading awkwardness. Psychology professor Nicholas Epley discovered emotional inquiry's power after 2 drunk driving incidents as a teenager. His parents' lectures failed, but a counselor's probing questions, "Why were you drinking? What if you had hit someone?" transformed his life by evoking emotional responses. This led Epley to explore perspective getting, asking questions that encourage emotional sharing. In 1995, psychologists created the Fast Friends procedure, 36 questions progressing from shallow, from "whom would you want as a dinner guest," to profound, "do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?" By the final questions, participants often shared intimate details, sometimes crying. The magic lay in inviting vulnerability. When we share deeply held beliefs, we trigger emotional contagion. Humans unconsciously synchronize emotions with those around them. Simple questions transform into emotional ones, where do you live becomes what do you like about where you live, inviting people to share values. Despite predictions of awkwardness, research showed people felt significantly more connected after sharing personal information. We dread emotional conversations, but find them deeply rewarding. Emotions reveal themselves through body language, vocal inflections, and subtle cues. Yet our ability to read these signals often weakens as we age and depend more on spoken language. In the 1980s, NASA psychiatrist Terrence McGuire discovered that genuine emotional intelligence was crucial for astronaut selection. His insight came from studying laughter. Research shows less than 20% of laughter responds to humor. Instead, we laugh to signal connection and alignment. McGuire transformed NASA's selection by assessing emotional responsiveness. He deliberately spilled papers, wore ridiculous ties, and shared personal grief to gauge reactions. Candidates who genuinely engaged, asking follow-up questions and matching his energy, were selected over those who remained emotionally distant. We instinctively assess others through two dimensions: mood, positive or negative, and energy, high or low. Super communicators excel at noticing these cues and responding authentically. By matching someone's mood and energy through genuine engagement, we signal our desire to connect, creating the foundation for meaningful exchange. Meaningful conversations carry our entire social identities, histories, backgrounds, and group memberships that shape our deepest sense of self. When physician Jay Rosenblum met parents refusing vaccines, he discovered their resistance stemmed from social identity, not ignorance. Nearly one-fifth of Americans identify as anti-vaxxers, viewing this stance as central to who they are. Rosenblum succeeded by finding common identities first, establishing connection before addressing medical concerns. Research on stereotype threat shows how awareness of negative stereotypes impairs performance. Female math students performed as well as men when prompted to consider their multiple identities before testing, not just their gender. In Karakosh, Iraq, a soccer league brought together Christians and Muslims divided after ISIS attacks. The experiment worked by drawing out identities beyond religion. Being teammates created new in-groups. At Netflix, a racial slur sparked what employees called the Civil War. Diversity executive Verna Myers created workshops emphasizing authenticity over perfection. If you're trying to say the perfect thing, nothing authentic is going to happen. By 2021, Netflix outpaced most Silicon Valley firms in diversity metrics. The Harvard study of adult development revealed a stark contrast. John Marsden, a promising Harvard sophomore with excellent grades, died isolated and bitter. Godfrey Camille, initially deemed a disaster by researchers, died happy and beloved. Marsden maintained superficial relationships throughout his successful career, avoiding vulnerability. Camille's transformation began during tuberculosis treatment, where forced hospital stays helped him develop social skills. He joined a church, cultivated friendships, mentored colleagues, and maintained family bonds. By 75, he reflected, "What durable and pliable creatures we are, and what a storehouse of goodwill lurks in the social fabric." After 7 decades, researchers concluded relationship satisfaction was the most important variable determining happiness and health. Social connection influences longevity more than diet, exercise, or genetics. Chronic isolation poses health risks comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes daily. The happiest participants practiced regular phone calls, consistent friend meetings, and meaningful conversations beyond small talk. Every conversation offers a choice: build connection or allow distance. The principles of supercommunication determine whether we end our lives like Marsden, accomplished but alone, or like Camille, surrounded by love cultivated through thousands of intentional moments of genuine connection.